Ever feel like you're living the same day over and over? If mom life feels like an exhausting whirlwind of laundry, dinner, driving, and frustration on repeat, you're not alone. For every other thing we do in life, there's training. But for the most important job, we're just figuring it out as we go. Mom University is here to change that. It will give you the skills and education to break free of old patterns and be a leader in your home. Thanks for enrolling in Mom U. Class is about to start.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Mom University podcast. I'm joined today by Katie Kimball. Katie, welcome to the show.
It's so good to be here, Chanel. Thank you.
I am excited to podcast with you today. Katie is someone who I've followed and admired from afar for a long time. So it's really fun to have her here to talk to today. So Katie, I actually first came across her a long time ago in my real food days and learned so much from her. So a quick introduction so that you can all get to know her. Katie Kimball, the national voice of healthy kids cooking, is a blogger, two-time TEDx speaker, former teacher, and mom of four kids who founded the Kids Cook Real Food e-course, recommended by the Wall Street Journal in 2020 as the best online cooking class for kids. Her blog, Kitchen Stewardship, helps families stay healthy without going crazy, and she's on a mission to connect families around healthy food, raise critical thinking skills using the lab of curiosity that is the kitchen, and grow the kids' meal revolution where every child learns to cook. Okay, I love your mission so much, and especially this part, helps families stay healthy without going crazy. We need that so much, so much. So to start off with, why is real food important to you? Why is this part of your mission?
You know, I grew up eating whatever my mom fed me, which was sort of a hybrid of homemade and packaged food. And it wasn't until I became pregnant. I think the first thing I searched up was, what do you eat when you're pregnant? You know, yeah. It was just something that felt so important at the time. And that was definitely the beginning. I think that's a story for a lot of moms. It's the beginning of your caring about what you put in your mouth, because it's not just for you, it's for someone else. And that someone else has a teeny tiny body that everything's going to impact. So I began to slowly change my diet while pregnant and just learned a lot about the difference between processed foods and, you know, butter and margarine. Oh my goodness, I didn't even know that there was a difference. I was raised on margarine and switched to butter. Like that was my very first baby step toward yeah. real food away from the processed. And you know, then the baby's born. And you're like, okay, now I have to feed this little baby and feed this growing baby. And so that was kind of my real food journey. Was very much for my kids. I want them to be able to be the people that they can be the best version of themselves. And I don't want anything getting in the way. You know, I want their physical health to be great and their mental health to be great and their, you know, focus for their academics to be as good as possible based on what we put in, the fuel that we're giving them. I want really good fuel. So that's kind of my vision, is that I really just want my family to be raised on the best food possible and to have a good relationship with food. Cause I can look at myself and I have, you know, I have that habit where I want something sweet after every meal.
Yeah.
Right? Like my mouth just doesn't taste right. If it's like egg aftertaste or like hamburger aftertaste, I'm like, I really want a chocolate aftertaste going
right.
on. And I can see that was created in my childhood. And I think, gosh, you know, what habits are we giving our kids about how they think about food and how they think about eating and engaging with food. And I just really want them to have good habits instead of having to break bad habits.
Yeah. Okay. This topic is so, you know, it's just such an important one. And I think there's so many emotions around it. Like, it's so easy. I think in theory, everyone listening can agree with you. Like, yes, we want to feed our kids healthy. And yes, we shouldn't have to have a dessert after every single meal. And yes, I also go off to the pantry and have a square or more of chocolate after every meal. So like, there's this, you know, interesting thing that happens on like, we want it intellectually. And then there's this emotional side where there's this struggle and we don't always want to give up. It feels like giving up whatever taste or habits or whatever that we have. And I think that, you know, that's an interesting thing that hopefully we can get into a little bit here, because you started when your kids were quite young. And so that's a different thing than moms starting when their kids are older and have their own opinions about what they want to eat. So let's start here though, because I feel like Most moms hearing this are going to say, yes, I want that. I would rather have my kids eat healthy than not healthy. But you know what, Katie? It's hard just to get dinner on the table. Like, how am I supposed to then have some real food on the table too? And so I would love, as we discuss this, for this episode to be a masterclass on how to really make this happen. So let's start from the beginning, meal planning. How do you figure out what you're even going to feed your kids?
That's a really good question. And full confessional, I stink at meal planning right now in this phase of my life. But I've been meal planning for 18 to 20 years. So the depth of my experience means that I can muck it up a little bit,
yeah,
and still recover. But for those who maybe aren't so experienced in meal planning, I have three tips. First is what I call connected meal planning. And this works really, really well if you have the frugal tendency like I do, where you don't like to waste food.
Yeah.
Okay. And that is that you can plan, and it's a time saver. So you can plan meals that are connected. So right now I have a box of spinach in my fridge. I know it's there, which means I'm going to choose either one meal that uses all the spinach or, you know, two meals to make sure that spinach gets used up. And what I like to do is connect the meals because it gives some momentum. It's like the snowball rolling down the hill. So if I'm going to make stir fry, right? Simple stir fry, frozen veggies, cut up some meat, throw it in, make rice, double my rice, which is zero extra time, because then 1 to 2 days later, I'm going to use that rice in another meal, right? And when I make that meal, maybe I need to grill some chicken with that meal. Double the chicken. Takes a little bit extra time. You got to flip them, right?
Yeah.
But now you can go, okay, now the next day I can turn that leftover chicken into a completely different meal. And it's almost like a game. It's kind of fun to figure out, like, how can I continually give future self, right? I'm going to give future Katie a gift of tackling one piece of her meal today. And now future Katie feels like that meal is even easier, right? So give your future self a gift by like connecting that meal planning together. It's kind of fun. And plan to fail is number two, meaning that I always have so much food in my house. So I say, even if I'm meal planning, stinking it up on meal planning, I'm very good at the hunting and gathering, going to Costco, right?
Yeah.
Fill in the cart. And so I make sure I have an abundance of meat in the freezer and dry beans in my basement, you know, and even some easy button routines, which is number three. So we plan to fail is in, if I don't have something planned, there is food in this house for sure, right? I don't have to have time to go grocery shopping or make an Instacart order, but also I want easy button routines. And that's number three. And so we do that by having tacos every Wednesday without fail. Family always loves them. I don't have to think about it because not thinking is a gift as well.
Yes.
For we moms who have so much on our minds. My husband makes one meal a week as well. And so we decided his meal is a day that we have to all get out of the house really quickly, really early. And so his meal is always an easy button meal. It's frozen burgers or it's, you know, frozen sausages. It's something that's just, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to do a ton of prep.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that like planning to fail and having some easy button meals is really, really great when the connected meal planning falls apart. So
yeah.
Full connected meal planning, but like give yourself, like, what do you call it when you're like a tightrope walker, you know, give yourself the safety net.
Yes.
So that when you fall, you still have something to eat and you don't have to call for takeout.
I love that. Okay. This first idea of connected meals is so cool. Is so cool. I mean, first of all, future self is something that we talk a lot about. And that idea of giving your future self a gift with meal planning is like the light bulb just went off for me. That's so amazing because, you know, when I look, I do this, but I haven't done it as intentionally as I could, right? Sometimes I look in the fridge and I say, okay, I've got a lot of lettuce and I don't want that to go to waste. So we will for sure be having salad with tonight's dinner. But I love this idea of intentionally saying, okay, I'm making this tonight. How can I make my life easier tomorrow? And that is such a brilliant idea to really just streamline your planning and to think ahead. And often, I mean, how often do we wish at 3 or 4 p.m. when we're like, oh, I didn't thaw anything or I didn't start thinking about dinner? And if yesterday, Katie, yesterday, Chanel had thought to, you know, pull out the meat, something as simple as pulling out the meat that night and putting it in the fridge so that tomorrow it's thawed, Or if you're cooking up a batch of ground beef, to just cook extra and save it for tomorrow or whatever. Like, oh, it is a gift. Like, I would be so grateful to have that today. So I love that. And then as well as your other ideas of planning to fail and having these easy routines. I want to dive into that one a little bit more. Give us some other easy routines that we can have. So taco night, great idea. You've got some other things that are just like quick frozen, you know, sausages or meat. What else? What are some other easy backup meals that we can just have at the ready?
It's so funny that you mentioned cooking extra ground beef, because that is another hack that I love to share. If I am browning ground anything, it's 2 pounds, right? It's double whatever I need. And then it goes in the freezer, because you can pull that out from the freezer and add some jarred pasta sauce and meals on the table in like 10, 15 minutes. So that's really, really nice. Like, my freezer is my friend.
Yeah.
My freezer has so many things in it that are really helpful. And I think I got to say, sharing the load is huge. And I know this is not a quick and simple hack, but I do want to talk people through the process we use. Like, my end game, like, do not compare your beginning to my end, but here's my reality right now. My kids are 9, 12, 15, and 18. And the 12, 15, and 18-year-olds each make a meal once a week.
Amazing.
And my husband makes a meal. And if you're doing the math, that's only 3 left for me.
Yeah.
Every week. And, you know, and if I have leftovers on one night, it's only 2.5, basically. So for me, sharing that load was huge. And it's a longer process, right? It's not something like cook 2 pounds of ground beef every time, but it's so worth it, because it's also really good for my kids to know how to cook and to have that confidence, you know, in an authentic life skill. Like, I know how to feed people, right?
Yeah.
I know that if you thaw the meat the day before, your life is easier. They know that at 12. And we're just figuring that out at 43. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
To them. So we used a process where when my kids first started cooking, the older two were 9 and 12. And so they teamed up. So that's like definitely something to consider if you've got kids who get along well and are close enough in age. Starting them as a pair, a duo, is a great idea. And they actually did it because I was going to be volunteering Sunday nights. And my husband was not a fan of the idea. He said, honey, you are always stressed out at dinner time. If you're going to try to leave this house at 5 p.m. every Sunday, it's going to be a disaster for us. Because you're going to leave a half-finished meal and be like, here, family, take it.
Yeah.
And walk out to church, right? Ironic. So I asked my 9 and 12-year-olds, like, could you be on my team? Like, what if, like, mom can serve at church and you could make dinner every Sunday? They said, okay. We decided pizza every Sunday, which is a great place, you know, homemade pizza from scratch. But it's great to start your kids with the same meal. So like right now, my 12-year-old just sort of stepped up into his slot, and he's the one who makes tacos every Wednesday. So they can, you know, they can do the work without having to do the planning. So they were going to make homemade pizza. And what we did was, in August, before the school year started, I made the whole recipe for them. They completely just observed, and I talked out what I did. And then right away, because you can never have too much pizza, we switched and the ingredients were all still out. And then they did it while I was right there standing next to them, right? And they just seen it. So it was do it, me do it, demonstrate, and then they do it while I watch. And then we made sure that they made it one more time while I was still in the house, but out of the room. So, right, safety net.
Yeah.
I was there if they had a question, but I also wasn't hovering and kibitzing. And then by the fourth time, I could leave the house and they were fully confident in making that meal. So if you're wanting your kids to learn to cook or actually take over a meal, that would be the process. Obviously, you got to teach them like some cooking skills first, which is where Kids Cook Real Food comes in. We can teach them how to use knives and stuff. But when you're handing over a full meal, that would be a great process to use.
Oh, that is brilliant. Okay. I love that. So let me ask a question. So they have tacos, they have pizza. Do you dictate, like, it needs to be a side dish and it needs to have vegetables and things like that? Or do you let them run with it?
You know, what's so funny is early on when my 9 and 12 year old at the time, Paul and Leah, they were making the pizza and they would automatically heat up a frozen veggie as a side. And I thought, that's really funny because pizza doesn't usually have like a cooked veggie.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm talking about with like our habits and our routines. Our dinners just always had a hot veggie side. So they automatically did it. And we do, or we always have a salad at dinner and we always have raw veggies and a dip. So that was just, that's just sort of expected.
That's what you do.
Part of, yeah, it's just part of making dinner. If they were ever to start skipping that, it would be a definite conversation.
Yeah.
What's going on, guys?
Okay. Okay. I ask because that has been a thing in my family where we have had other families, other family members cook, but they often forget those crucial things that as a mom, I'm like, no, that needs to be on the table. And somehow they didn't get that memo. So that leads me to my next question, which is, I love this idea of habits and of teaching your kids, you know, to eat healthy, to have healthy options. And like you said, you always have a vegetable on the table. What do you do when your family is not on board? I'm sure you come across this a lot because not everyone is starting where you started. And some of us, you know, who have teenagers with strong opinions against vegetables or whatever, how do you help them transition into real food?
That can definitely be a lot. And I work also with parents of picky eaters.
Yeah.
Who really need those processes and routines. And I'll tell you, personally, it took 10 years from when I started that real food journey to get my husband fully on board. So it was, you know, I've been there. I've experienced that process for him. And this may work for some kids. I really used his strengths. So he's an engineer. He's a computer programmer. And so I really wanted to use logic. And what is research saying, you know, about how this is affecting our bodies. So for some kids, especially teens, maybe kind of the intellectual type, that may work. For other kids, you might want to come at it as a, how do you want to fuel your body, right? What's most important to this kid? Is it soccer? Is it theater? Is it dance? You know, and what are the foods, the macronutrients or the vitamins and minerals that are really going to fuel them to be their best performer there. In fact, I just hung out with some extended family I don't see very often, and their eighth grader is super into football, super picky eater, but on his own, he started stumbling into some athletic performance videos on YouTube, decided to radically cut his sugar. He's like, how can I get more protein? So he's learned to season chicken and air fry it. And it is so beautiful for me to watch. Like that was his intrinsic motivation. And he's expanding his palate for the first time in years because he wants it. So as parents, that's like, how can we have the sneaky marketing ploy where we start with what they want most and, you know, slide them around without them noticing it's us to kind of what we want. And so that's like, that's the conversation thing for the teens. But also, quite honestly, Chanel, getting the kids in the kitchen is huge because there's no pressure to eat. You know, they're just kind of getting that exposure to foods and in a way making friends with food without feeling like, oh my gosh, somebody's going to make me eat this, which happens at the table. Even if we haven't made them eat it, it's just sort of this natural feel, right? Plate gets put in front of you. Someone's going to expect it to go down the hatch. And so definitely getting those kids in the kitchen and trying to build some cooking skills. Again, figure out what they want. My kids say I love cooking because then I get to choose what we eat. If your kids would like to choose what they eat, make that happen. Even if they'd never touch a vegetable, at least if they're sort of building some skills, then you can slide that into vegetables later.
Yeah, that's so powerful. I mean, I definitely see it. It's just they have a stake in what's going on and they feel a part of it. And so it just, even if, like you say, even if they never eat the vegetable, even if that's, it doesn't start there and they're not ready for it yet, just how much more excited they'll be for dinner in general, you know, just to be there because I made this. There's this pride that comes when we involve our kids in cooking. Okay, we've talked about a lot of good things. What have we missed? What else do you feel like moms need to know about? What else do you have to teach us, I'll say, about this whole concept of dinner and families eating together and eating real food?
Yeah, I mean, step one is just try really hard to make family dinner a habit as much as possible. I know schedules are crazy right now. Here's the good news. Research shows that just 2 times a week of eating a meal together, doesn't have to be dinner, there's 21 meals in a week, right? 2 times a week of eating a meal together drastically begins to reduce your kids' incidence of depression, anxiety, suicidal tendencies. It increases their academic success more than time doing homework. Family dinners do. And it creates sort of a protective agent against substance abuse. It really is that important. So I could stand on the rooftops and yell as loudly as I can to say, parents, like, I know it might feel difficult, but make family dinner happen. Make it a positive place to be. Family dinner, it feels like the time to do all the like family meeting business stuff, right? Who needs help with their homework? Who didn't do their cleaning job correctly?
Yeah.
And it's really hard, even for myself. I'm like, oh, you gotta like pull that back because it's especially for the first 10, 20 minutes, right? Try to keep everybody there. And how can we make that a time of connection? A time where we are building those bonds with our kids that are going to give them the resilience they need to tackle everything else in life. Like family dinner really, really is. It's that important and it's free. It's simple but not easy. And I
Yeah.
get that. But it really is that important. So anything you can do to make that family dinner or meal a reality, minimum 2 times a week, more is better. More is more protective. We do something fun sometimes, not all the time, but we call it the three L's. If conversation's sort of not happening, when did you laugh today? How did you love someone else? And what did you learn? Super simple. And it just pretend, gets people laughing together, talking. It's much better than how was school? Fine.
Yeah,
Right? What did you
exactly.
learn? Sometimes they'll say nothing, but then you need to be the example, right? Well, hey, I don't go to school, and I learned that my front headlight is out. Whatever. I learned that if I don't plan for a podcast well, I'm not going to sound very good, right? Like there, we they push yourself to be the example of learning
Yeah.
something that is not all about school.
Oh, that is so great. And thank you for bringing it back down to that basic because. Really, that is what it's all about. Yes, we want our kids to eat good food. That is one crucial piece of the puzzle, and that is for their physical health and well-being. But as moms, we also want that connection, and family meals give us that. And I love that statistic because 2 times a week, we can do that. Like,
Can do
even
that.
if dinner is a struggle right now, 2 times a week at for some of those 21 meals, we can make that happen. So I love things like that, start where you are. If you're having zero right now, work up to two. And if you're having two right now, work up to three and keep on going from there. So many good things in here. I hope you all have been listening, taking notes, and really thinking of ways that you can implement. I know for me, one of the big things that I am going to start doing from this episode is this idea of connecting my meals and looking forward. So whatever I'm making tonight, how does that lead into tomorrow or the next day's meal? Because I think that's something that is so easy and going to make my life so much more simpler in the future. So Katie, where can people find you and learn more about all of your awesome programs and the things that you're doing?
Well, we're at kidscookrealfood.com, and I've got a special little gift for Mom University listeners. If you go to kidscookrealfood.com/momu, the letter U, you can get our knife skills and safety 10-minute training video, and that's for all ages. The butter knives, the chef's knives, we actually teach the same ways to hold the food and the same ways to move the knife. And so that's a really good motivating first step. Kids think sharp knives are
Yeah.
cool, right? It's cool to learn something dangerous and adult. And so that's a great first step into, well, gosh, how can I get my kids in the kitchen? They don't know how to do anything. Do that 10-minute video and have a lot of fun with it.
Awesome. Okay, that's so fun, and I love that as a first step because knives are fun. I'm a mom of four boys and a girl, but the boys and knives, I mean, they go together. They love it. So that's a great place to start.
Thanks for listening. If you're a mom whose days feel like Groundhog's Day and you find yourself wondering what you're doing it all for, join us at our in-person Mom University event. You'll get the support, tools, and help to become the mom you want to be. For details, go to universityformoms.com.